Welcome to the Crazy Cool Family Podcast with Don and Suzanne Manning.
A podcast where we share with you great insights about everything family from over 30 years of parenting 7 kids and over a decade of equipping parents through our Crazy Cool Family Ministry.
So let us inspire and equip you to build your best family.
Hey, Crazy Cool Parents. Do you struggle with discipline in your home? Are you spending endless amounts of time correcting, nagging, and fighting with your kids to just obey? If you said yes, yes, yes in your mind, or maybe even out loud, then we have an amazing invitation for you. Dawn and Suze are launching the first ever Crazy Cool Family cohort. It's a 3-week virtual cohort for parents wanting to learn to correct effectively. It starts in early April, and we'd love for you and all your friends to join. If you need a breakthrough in your discipline, then this is your next step. All the information can be found by clicking the link in the show notes. Don't wait to sign up. April will be here before you know it. Come invest in your family with us in the first ever Crazy Cool Family cohort.
Hey guys, welcome to Crazy Cool Family Podcast. We have someone all the way from Canada. You know, we're in Texas, so you guys may be listening. Who knows where you are in the world that you're listening to? But in Texas, Canada is a long way. So Shiraz, welcome to the podcast.
Don, appreciate you having me on. Thanks, man.
So Shiraz has written a book called Well Done, and he is also just let's have you tell us about you and your background and. Just the way, you know, you came from the business world over into more consulting. And so tell us all about that.
Such a broad question, right? I do a really bad job, Don, honestly, of speaking about myself. It is not my favorite topic. I'll spend all day talking about you, but I'm not sure if I'm like most people. You tend to not want to talk about yourself because you don't want to focus on yourself. But I think that was what the switch was for me. Is when God began to speak into my soul, telling me that I mattered and telling me that what I do matters and the work that I do matters. And that's really has maintained my focus on my journey, is to help everyone else also be reminded that the work that we do matters. More importantly, the relationship that we get to experience with God matters. So to ask me the question, you know, how has that journey gone? If I were to rewind to when I was 19, I was on my way to seminary and a crucial conversation happened with the leadership of the church that I was attending that were, you know, pretty much sending me to this seminary. And it came down to church management, not about the gospel or theology, but it came down to church management. And I loved it. And I didn't choose one or over the other. It's just my journey has always straddled the concepts of what it means to effectively steward church and his people. So I've always straddled both sides of that equation, Don.
I think that's how, you know, same. We've always been involved both in work and ministry, but that's led you to a career of we're in the business world. And yet you've been, you know, kind of on that fence between business and ministry for pretty much your career, if I remember right.
Absolutely. And there was so many frustrating moments that folks, I'm sure you're listening in, is thinking you've had a few of your own frustrating moments where you weren't sure that what you are doing is what you're supposed to be doing. Maybe I need to spend some more time on the kingdom side. Maybe I need to spend more time making money, because sometimes working in the kingdom, you don't see a tangible bump in your bank account. And when you have practical needs to take care of, how do you balance out that thought? And what finally settled for the issue for me, Don, after so many years, was I just felt God saying to me, can you just walk the line? Can you be comfortable in what you have, meaning being in ministry and in a business setting at the exact same time? Can you just embrace the grace that you need for your unique race to stay in that middle? Hey, don't go too much corporate. Don't go too much kingdom. Stay in the balance. Bring the best of your corporate experience and knowledge from a infrastructure, from a structure perspective, strategy, bring that into the kingdom. But don't ever forget to bring the kingdom side into the corporate side. So that's kind of where my journey is staying right in the middle, being able to glean from both and introducing both to one another.
Yeah, which means that you've worked in the corporate world, but you've also had a ministry purpose. And that's kind of gone, would you say over time, it kind of went from more work related to more ministry related over time? Or what's been that balance?
Over time, it's actually gone the other way. And what's really interesting, so we're all familiar with the movement, probably the late 90s, early 2000s, and they would call it faith at work. And the whole idea, Don, was, hey, how do we get people to be more vocal and stand up for the morality of our faith, stand up for what Christianity represents, and evangelize the workforce? Hand out your tracts. Let them know that there's a God that loves them. And that's awesome. I think that's beautiful. Why wouldn't we do that? And, you know, God kind of changed that equation for me. For me, it was, I'm in sales. I'm in operations. I'm on the strategy side. Okay. Can you be the person who has the best results at the end of every month? Can the teams that you manage set records when it comes to the performance? Let the people know that the glory of God is on your life, and you might not even need to hand out a single track. If you do the best work, people always, like, I mean, we live in a bandwagon society, right? People always want to have a piece of the good stuff going around. Right now in your state, there's probably a little bit of a frenzy about baseball going on right now in Texas right now. Yeah. A little bit of a frenzy, right? And people are coming out of the woodwork to follow baseball right now in your state. They weren't following all year. Why? Because people want to be around goodness. They want to be around glory at the end of the day. And so why don't we focus on the kingdom by being the best accountant? And people are going to ask you, hey, how did you figure that out? How did you know that there was an anomaly? How did you save us XYZ dollars? Wait, you're on the engineering side? Where did you get the inspiration for that design? People will ask you about your great work before they ask you about your great God, but your great work will always point them. If you can do your part, you can point them to your great God.
So how do you tell the guy or girl who is in their career and they say, yeah, but, you know, it looks like the people who are in sales and succeeding are working a lot of hours. They're just, you know, it's going to put my balance off, and I need to be in ministry and I need to be with my family. And so there's no way I can succeed in the business world. I love this. I get it all the time, you know. And you and I both have run that balance of being able, and I'm just curious what you say to people of, you know, oh, that really takes too much effort and energy. So I'm going to be good at what I'm doing, but I'm not going to be excellent because that just takes too much. It takes away from the kingdom, takes away from my family.
Oh man, so many different places. I'd love to go with that. So I got to stay focused here. First of all, there are two things that you won't find in the Bible. One concept is work-life balance. It doesn't exist. Show me the person who is accomplished work-life balance. Just that thought, work-life balance. What are you trying to balance? Show me the balancing act that David went through. Show me the balancing act that Peter went through. No, you're all in, and there's a price that you're going to have to pay to get the goodness and the glory, no matter what you do. So when you have to put in extra hours as a salesperson, put in extra hours as a mechanic, put in extra hours as a doctor, you want to jump in the kingdom? All right, no problem. Do you know how many hours pastors are putting into their work on a weekly basis? I mean, if pastors have the capacity for 40 hours, you're looking at 70, 80 hours sometimes. It doesn't stop. The question that you need to answer is not how many hours, but how much do you want out of it? Well, then guess what? There's this equation. Whatever you want out, are you willing to put in? Or is God just supposed to kind of deliver it on a platter? Which one is it? And no matter what, talk about baseball. The amount of hour, everyone wants to be a baseball player. If you're an athlete and you're into baseball, perhaps that's something that you want to do. But are you willing to put in the work? Mm-hmm. That's one thought. The other thought here is in the universe, in the God-made natural formation of the entire universe, there's no such thing as a straight line. It doesn't exist. There will always be natural bends and curves and twists and plot twists. See, somebody challenged me on that. They said, light is straight and it cuts through. And it was interesting. That's a really neat thought. We jumped online, did some research real quick. And within less than 3.5 minutes, even light over time bends. There's no such thing as an A to B. There's no such thing as work-life balance. So what is it that you're after? Figure it out. I'll put it to you a different way. There's no discounts on eternity. Determine the price and set out to pay the full cost. And but so, it's up to you.
Yeah, so then, and you talk in your book a lot about succeeding at the wrong things. So really, would you parallel that? And as you look at this, you've studied this a lot and you have talked to a lot of people. You talk to a lot of people about these issues in life. So do you find that another factor is trying to figure out where your God-inspired purpose in life is so that you have something to pursue that's worthwhile?
Yeah, I might fall into the first category. I'm more so in the second category. So there's some people that naturally numbers come to them easily. And there's other people who should never delete that calculator app off their phone. Don't do it. Don't do it. There's some people, they're really good. It's just naturally, they just can pick up a pen, a marker or something, a paintbrush, and they just create something that's so captivating. Right. There's a reason why I stopped at stick figures, because it just wasn't happening for me. And I think that if we were to step back, take stock, there are things that God has given all of us where results come easier for you than they do for other people. That might be not the totality of your answer, but that might be the breadcrumb, the clues, and the cues to suggest what you were sent to the planet to do. I don't know a single person personally who had that divine intervention where God just dropped into their middle of their afternoon at 2:30, 2 p.m. and said, "You will do this now." But I know a whole lot of giants that were figuring it out even with a blindfold on. But you know what they all had in common? They kept on stepping. They kept on moving because they had this assurance that all things work together for those who are in Christ, meaning even your mistakes will point you to the direction of your destiny because you stayed in motion. So my thought to anyone, hey, what am I born for? Okay. That might be wrapped up in your next step. Like, what do you enjoy doing? There is something in it because God has given you that joy in what you're doing.
Yeah. And, you've got the Christian Business Harvest Network. And so you talk to a lot of professionals that are trying to figure that out. And I'm sure a lot of people who are, oh, wow, this isn't what I was born to do. I'm doing it for the money. I'm doing it because I've got to feed my family, those type things. And so what do you say to those people when, how do you direct them and how do they decide on that, kind of that money versus passion, that money versus passion question that everybody goes through?
I think everyone who wrestles with that question, and I guess that means all of us qualify, everyone wrestles through, is this really what I want to be doing? Is this really what I was born for? Everybody wrestles with that. And is that really the scale, money on one side and passion on the other? I don't know if it's a linear, polar opposite, money or passion. But what I do know is that all of us have a purpose. Okay, great statement, Shiraz. How do you unpack that and figure that out? You're right, Don. I'm fortunate to be able to speak to a lot of different Christian leaders in kingdom and in business on a regular basis, because when you can begin to map out patterns between how people figured it out And so I'll share three things really quickly from a patterned perspective. Mm-hmm. One is they took responsibility to figure it out on themselves. They didn't put it on God.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and before you go, I want to stop on that for just a second, because I tell parents a lot, own your own discipleship. You know, own your own journey, if you will. Stop having people waiting for somebody to tell you what to do. And so I want to stop down on that, because I think it's super important, because 90% of people don't do that. And maybe, you know, in certain classes of people, certain connections and certain ways of doing things, there are maybe a higher percentage, but most people in general are waiting on life to tell them what to do, rather than, you know, proceeding and pursuing their own journey. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I think you and I would agree. We don't know what the percentages are, but you get a strong sense that, man, people are putting it on something else, or there's always a reason why, they couldn't. If you look at Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, God, you're a hard person. That's why I couldn't do what I was supposed to do. And there's so many other examples of, well, because of you, I couldn't do me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about that. So I'm with you 100%.
And that take. I wanted to ask, so you said three things. And so yeah. I'm up with number one. What are the other two?
Well, just to reinforce the first thing about taking ownership and accountability, right. Romans 12:2, a very popular scripture that most people will be able to quote, be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right.
And unfortunately, most people, and I don't like saying statements like most, but in this case, it might be true. Most people don't know the rest of the verse.
Yeah.
You see, the rest of the verse is so that you can test and approve God's perfect will for your life. Mm-hmm. And when you break it down in the Greek, what is God saying here? He's saying, can you, wait, God's asking me to approve his will for my life? I'm supposed to approve the sovereign's will for my life? Yeah. And he's saying the moment that you approve it, you're putting your own stamp on it. You're taking accountability for it. You're taking ownership for it, because you have said, I'm now bought in. I buy in. Your approval is telling God, I buy in for your plan for my life. Let's go.
Yeah.
So that first piece is that ownership, that accountability, that approval that God has for me, he has for me. Let's go. Now, a second thing that I would certainly, you see a pattern with people is preparation. You don't know when that moment is coming, but you're not waiting for that moment before you're doing something about it. If you get a sense that you should be a carpenter, how many years of schooling have you finished already?
Right.
If you get a sense that you should be a public speaker, which Don, you and I know, a lot of people love themselves some microphone time, or they really want that stage time.
Yeah.
How many hours do you practice in your basement preaching in the mirror? Oh, you don't. I firmly believe that we have a responsibility to become better at what we are better at. It's the same thing. God has designed you and I to be better at something than other people. Are you leaning into that and developing that skill and applying your will to God's will?
Yeah, and so, absolutely. I want to a couple of stories that I just think are really illustrate that point. Pastor friend of mine, who's a terrific leader, he was 25, 26, and was in a position to where he was in a job that was not fulfilling for him, you know, but he didn't feel like he was supposed to leave at a church. So he just decided to read leadership books, read 100 of them. And then he didn't know what was going to happen, then got the call to be the senior pastor of that church.
Wow.
Been there the last 12 years and is flourishing. Another story, I only heard about this a couple of years ago, but in college, my big brother in my fraternity was a guy who just barely made it out of school, 2.5 GPA in marketing, you know, just barely made it out of school. Went to work for our company bus barn, you know, that ran the school buses, you know, just a decent job, but nothing major. And I heard about him a couple of years ago, and he just decided to become an expert in leadership and people development. And so he wound up going to work for the bus company that ran all the buses, a company called Bluebird. And did you know that today he just retired from being the CEO of a Fortune 500, a $7 billion Fortune 500 company, and lives up in the Wisconsin area, closer to you guys, and is on the board of the Green Bay Packers. So, I mean, just he is a force, but he just, to say one of the things that he had in his life is he was very personable. And so, you know, my friend that told me the story of my friend, you know, had kept up with him. And he said, you know, when I went to the plant, he worked for a company that was a big heavy equipment manufacturer. And he said he'd go to the plant, 1,600 employees there, and he knew every one of them. He knew, wow. He knew their family, knew their story. And he used that. So he went from the 2.5 GPA, you know, just barely made it out of college guy. He claimed his own purpose. And therefore, now he just gave one of the largest gifts. This is public knowledge. So to our university that we went to here in the North Texas area, just gave one of the largest gifts to that university because he decided to do something. Those both guys decided to take their strength and do something with it and go learn about it. So when the time came, they were ready.
When the time came, they were ready. Yeah. I love that, Don. I mean, again, go Matthew 25. 10 virgins, 5 made it, 5 didn't. And the difference between the two? Preparation.
Yeah, that's good.
They had enough oil, right?
And so then let's go back to, so you've got people, let's say a guy or a girl is 33, 35, 37, and they've been, you know, working in the world, you know, they've gotten their degree, they're in their career, you know, they've got a couple of kids. How do you know, I mean, what do you tell people, these leaders that are coming up, you know, here's how you figure out what to prepare for.
Mm-hmm. So are you prepared? Are you prepared for Jesus to come alongside and say, get out of the boat? See, that a perfect segue for that third element is willing to take a risk.
Mm.
And are you prepared? You're 33. You have a couple of kids out there and you know, great relationship with your spouse and career is going okay, but you're unsatisfied. You know that there's more in your core to explore, but hey, what do I do, man? I might make things shaky for my family and I have to secure them, right? Like, after all, the mortgage has to be paid. After all, little Johnny has to go to his baseball game. After all, little Martha has her, you know, whatever she's into, a computer coding class, and, you know, she's going to build the next AI model. What do you make everybody happy and go to hell or heaven? And that's the choice and the weight of the responsibility that we can't middle in the middle of mediocrity. And it's kind of like lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. That's dangerous. It's a very dangerous place to stay. When you know that you should be doing something and you're not willing to take a risk, look, in this world, you will have trouble, but he said, take heart. And you know, it's another word there for take heart is what he told Joshua 3 times in Joshua chapter 1. The word there also means courage. Take the heart of a courageous one. He's saying, take heart, take courage. So that third step, and thank you for that segue, again, ownership, accountability, develop your skill, and then do something about it, even if it's going to cost you something. You want your purpose, or do you want a silver platter? Because purposes, they're not served up on silver platters. Mm-hmm. What are you willing to do about it?
Yeah, it's one of the things I feel like is, if you look at people who have, you know, now that I'm 59 years old, so, you know, I'm looking at my friends and people, you know, and what you do over these last 30 years, you look back at what difference it's made for certain people. And you look at the people that have, one, I think there is value in finding that niche, that purpose, and getting really good at something. I think one of the things that, and I want to hear what you have to say about that too. It feels like that people who have done things for a long time, they get better at them and they get more of a name and they do things more and they decided on it. And it really feels like too, the people who decided on a few things, that they didn't try to be so scattered. And they were willing to take the risk and really, you know, be the expert in things. What are your thoughts? I just gave you a few things. So what are your thoughts as I'm looking back on my people that have been successful and sure. Those teams that I've seen?
Well, I alluded earlier to the fact that there's no straight lines in the universe. And yes. I'm fortunate over the past, since the book released, well, really over the past, maybe 6-8 weeks, I've been a guest on a lot of podcasts, a lot. And this happened a couple of times where they wanted my 5-step plan to purpose. They wanted me to delineate and orchestrate the and then 2.0, 3, 4, 5B, and just nail it down. I can't. And I won't. Because if it was formulaic, then more people would have done it. This is relational. This is God of the universe saying, son, daughter, come hang out with me. Come hang out with me, and I will show you who you are. There's this word intimacy, where you get to know somebody very closely. A definition that I've heard is, into me, you will see. You'll see what? Yourself. We were made in his image, a reflection of him. I can't give you that 5-step. You're going to see it when you see yourself in your God. Now, how do I give you steps of that? I'm supposed to tell you, read your Bible more. Yeah. You're supposed to pray more. Yeah. Sometimes, watch this, Don. Sometimes the answer is not in what you don't know, but it's in what you already know. But will you take time to consolidate the knowledge and the revelation that you've already received about yourself? Because we're always in this constant battle of fresh manna. We want the next new shiny thing. I heard this preacher, I heard that pastor. Well, my small group leader said this. Great, but what has God already said? Because perhaps you're not getting clarity on your next step because you haven't, and step two, because you haven't done anything with step one. So my strong encouragement to everybody listening in, and if that's a place where you find yourself, okay, well, how do I? It's not what you don't know. I assure you, you write pen, take pen to paper. Within 5 minutes, if you can block out all the noise and just focus for five minutes, you'll write down 3 or 4 things. Then it goes back to the same question, where you have the courage to do something about it. Will you? It's not that far removed from you.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to and one of the things my pastor says is just run the play. He says, you know, and really that God won't give you the next revelation until you've already exercised on the revelation he's given you. But I also, going back to what I was saying is, it seems like, you know, a lot of times what God says in those 5 minutes, I feel like, you know, you were talking about, you said somewhere that, oh, we have a responsibility to become better at what we are better at.
Yeah.
There is this passion that God, I feel like it becomes over time. What I've seen in people who have been down the road is it's It's intimacy, but God's thematic in nature. He has certain, like, we are wired certain ways. And so over time, certain things will, and that's where I feel like that when people find out where God is, has wired them, and they start to study that and take risk in those areas, those are the people that have blown through so many different barriers. And that's what I mean by when I say, that it doesn't mean a formula. I totally agree with that, because intimacy means that, you know, I always say that the path to success is never linear. You know, and if you look back in 2 weeks, you'll feel like you're failing. But if you look back at a year, you'll see that you've been succeeding.
Fantastic point, right? Time proves truth in all areas. If you feel that you've been eating well, in a year from now, just look down at your waistline. You'll know if you've been eating well. You feel like you're getting stronger? Just do a little one of these over a year. But if you look at it on a daily, you might lose your way for sure. That concept of intimacy, if we can touch on that a little bit more. The word in Matthew 7 and Matthew 25 is new. There's this judgment day scene, Don, where they've come to the Father and they bottom line is for some of them, he says, "Depart from me, I knew you not." And say, "Lord, Lord, I did this, I did that." And God, what is he saying? I'm not interested in what you did. I'm interested in, did you get to know me? Wait, that qualifies you for eternity? Yes. Yes, it does. It's right there. He says, they say, "Lord, I did this and I did this great thing and I did this great thing." He's like, "Congrats, that's good. But you didn't get to know me." And there's two words there in the Hebrew. The word there would be yada, which is like an intimate love. But in the Greek, that word is gnosko. Gnosko is the highest form of intimacy that you can have. Interestingly enough, it's the same word used when it says, "And Adam knew Eve," meaning he lay down with her. It's the same word that says, "And Joseph knew Mary not," where they did not have that highest form of relationships. That's actually where we get the word gynecology from, is gnosko. So God is saying, hey, what's going to qualify you from eternity is the time that you spend with him.
Yeah, and I love it. And you said this before, and I want to bring it back up because I think it will help us that, my wife says that intimacy means, well, we're talking about this in the context of marriage, is that he is into me, that and I think that that's what you're saying is that God wants us to be into him into knowing how to love him, to receiving his love. And out of that does flow your passions for life. That passion comes through connecting with the source of passion so that we can understand and God will reveal. And you just said, I want to bring up, like the 5 minutes that literally, just getting still and just listening, God, where are we going with this? And God will bring a revelation. He will. And then many times it's like, we don't know, sometimes we can talk to our close people about that. Hey, this is what I hear God saying. I do believe God speaks to others as well. And I think it will start to spin up in us. Oh, this is something. Okay, go back to God. Is this it? And it's okay too. Just Moses said, "Hey, God, I'm not the guy for this job." So often, don't you think that you also hear from people and say, when we hear that, a lot of times it's not something we would necessarily do, hey, let's go back to Egypt. Well, I don't speak very well, or we have all these excuses that happen, but many times those are where God has us.
To me, the word ignorant is not a bad word. It simply means, I don't know what I don't know. That's all ignorance means. This is, I just don't know what I don't know. And even when you don't know, will you still go? Even when you don't have it all figured out, will you still take a step of faith? Because that's the reality. If we're going to call this thing faith, even when there are missing parts in the formula, even when there's gaps in your knowledge, even when you don't understand half the equation because logic will get in the way, patterns will get in the way, the rhythms of life, the responsibilities of, hey, I can't break this. Will you still go even when you don't know? How do you quantify that, Don? Like, how do you quantify what it means to jump out of a boat? There was no guarantee that he was going to walk on water, but there's a guarantee that you weren't going to drown.
Right.
And so one of the things that gets in the way is the people in the boat, their opinions. Like, Don, people's opinions don't matter. It's how much we value them that matters. What will my fill in the blank say? But what if it doesn't? What if it does? It's called faith because we don't know. And anyone that tells you that they knew that this is, they're lying. How many kids do you have, Don? And if somebody, you know, 59, I'm going to rewind like 40 years and like, yeah, I'm definitely going to have this many kids and they're all going to, and it's going to be fine. And I get to have, by the way, folks, you don't know that I love his, that's not a backdrop. That's actually his millwork in the wood office. I love it. His bookshelf there. You never knew you were going to have that. You didn't know how amazing your marriage was going to be, but you kept on working at it. Yeah. You kept on doing what you do. And eventually you stacked it good on good on good. And then eventually there are some cracks in it and it fell apart a little bit, but you didn't go all the way back to one. Maybe you dropped from 17 to 14 and then you shot up to 21 and then maybe to 18. And then you went up to 35 and then maybe something disastrous happened back to 20. And then you went all the way up to 75 because God's just good like that with his fast forward button. But there's no guarantees.
Well, and I think, you know, it's even so often in this, and I'd love to, you know, get your thoughts on this too. In this day and age, we think with all the craziness out there, there's so much risk. But in reality, there's never been a better time in history to be able to explore who we are. I mean, that is one of the advantages and all the culture shocks that we have and all the things that are happening with technology and the fast-pacedness of this world. Opportunities abound, you know, and there's so many things that people can do. They couldn't get close to doing 100 years ago. And so that's the season that we can say, hey, let's, you know, we can take risk and we can do things because so many ways that we can reset ourselves if things don't work out.
So I work for one of the things that I do, I'm the media host and consulting editor for a business magazine. I won't give it a plug, so I won't mention the name, but it's here in Canada. It's a national publication. And I'm fortunate because I get to spend time with a lot of giants in business. One area of focus over the past, for the better part of this year, 2023, the better part of this year has been AI, artificial intelligence. And I get to connect with some giants, like some global figures, talking about the concepts of AI. And whether it's good or bad, I'm not going there. I will in a minute, but not right now. I get to spend time with minds who are willing to not know, but still go. We don't know if this works, this code is going to work. We don't know how the market will, but I'm willing to put my all into it. And they're developing some crazy things. Nothing amazing has come out of tiptoeing around.
Right.
Nothing great. Maybe from behind the lines, I can throw a javelin at Goliath. No, nothing great came until there was a great moment where you just took a stand for yourself and said, enough is enough. Even if my brother is going to kill me, my name is Jacob and I'm going to go back and see Esau. And I know that the word is out there that he's trying to kill me. But I've had enough hiding in my uncle's home with my two wives and all these, this whole tribe of kids that I have. I've had enough. I got to go do something about it. Peter eventually did something about it. Everybody did something to take a stand. Yeah. And that's what we all got. What's your stand? What is God calling you to take a stand on? And when you do that in the direction of your destiny, because you got some cues and clues, you get to what Don was saying. Hey, there hasn't been a better time. There are a lot of opportunities and access to resources to help you get to where you feel and the places and spaces that you feel God has called you into. We are unlimited in our access to the resources and the knowledge to do things that we would really want to do. There's not a single course that you can't train for free on YouTube. There's so much on LinkedIn. There's so much information. But are you going to make the sacrifice to make it happen? And that's where we hold the responsibility.
Yeah, so much wisdom here. Just, overall theme here is really summarized in your book. Well done. A passionate pursuit of purpose. And said so many things today. So I know you don't like to plug yourself, but we're going to go ahead and do that. So let's know, how can people know more about you, or know more, buy your book, connect with you to get more insight into pursuing a life of purpose biblically, relationally, intimacy with God-wise?
Amazon, if you were to just simply Google, well done, my name, Shiraz Sadiq, or just Shiraz, it'll pop up on Amazon. You can get the book there. It's available at our at the book site, which is welldonebook.info. Again, that's welldonebook.info. That's another place. But look, folks, if you want to connect, and this is something that you want to chat through a little bit more, there's a group of people that get together on a Zoom call at 7 p.m. EST every Thursday night through an organization called CBHN, the Christian Business Harvest Network. And this is what we're doing. We're exploring ways of impregnating our work with more of God on a daily basis. It's just a time where we get together for about an hour and chat through concepts that we're all struggling through, whether it's skill set like marketing or if it's the book of Jeremiah. It's just a great place where career-oriented and business owners get together and again, just wrestle through the word of the Lord. But don't come if you're not afraid to be challenged. It's not
Can we put a link? I will obviously put the link for the welldonebook.info. Is there a link I can put in the show notes that will get them to that Thursday night?
Yeah, cbhn.net. Or even better, you can email the team here at connect@cbhn.net. Again, that's connect@cbhn.net. And somebody on the team will certainly get back to you. And folks, we don't pull punches. We challenge each other. It gets a little gnarly sometimes, and we love it. Just the whole principle of iron sharpens iron. Well, we're not afraid of sparks flying. We're always after the truth. And if it means that we got to wrestle through it, it's a great opportunity. If you're wrestling through what one of your purposes are through the concept of work, don't be afraid to join us.
I see that here as I was just pulling it up as he was talking. So I didn't know about the book for sure. I didn't know about the peer group nights. And so we will put that link in there. We'll get that all in the show notes for you if you want to be a great way to just learn from others. That's maybe your next step in, figuring out something different, figuring out something new, figuring out your purpose in life. So often it's like, it might be, I can look back on my journey and say, wow, when I read that book, that was the marker. Or when I listened to that person, that was the marker. I just remember one time somebody gave me a cassette tape on grace. And, that'll show how old I am. And it'll, then I listened to that tape, and that guy, he spoke to me in a way that I'd never heard of God's love. And it was the beginning of a journey towards the fulfillment of grace in my life. And so you just never know where it's going to come from. But the reason it's going to happen is because you're going to reach out and go get it. And you're going to make sure that that really is, you said there's not a formula, and that's true. But one of the maybe not formula, but one of the key characteristics is if somebody's willing to step out and go get it and not wait for somebody to happen to them. So Shiraz, thank you so much for being with us. Love what you're doing and love, you know, what is going on. You know, one of the things as we talk, I totally forgot about this till now, but one of the things I would love for us to finish with just a few minutes. You're in Canada and we are in Texas. We're in the Bible Belt. And one of the things we were talking about, you know, pre-podcast was just the environment in Canada of faith. That it, and what you mentioned to me is that it is a multi-God culture versus a, and I feel like the reason I want to bring it up is because I feel like we are moving towards that in America. And it may be slower for some people, it seems fast. How do you share your faith? And how is it different than you see? Because you talk to people in America too. How is explaining and sharing your faith in the world, in your workplace, different in Canada because of that multi-God background?
Yeah. If I were to say, if I'm standing in Texas and I say something about God, the default automatically is the God of the Bible. And so by default, if you're talking about something about, you know, who God is, everyone's thinking about the God of the Bible in Canada and the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area, which is different. When you say God, I mean, like, whose God are you talking about? Is it the Muslim God? Is it the Hindu God? Gods, because they have their whole roster of gods. Is it the Sikh God? Wait, is it Buddha? And so there isn't a default here. So the need to be more, to bring clarity to the conversation is illuminated on a regular basis. And so inclusivity in Canada means you are allowed to talk about other religions, but if you talk about Christianity, you're being naughty. Christianity is completely under attack in Canada. It's okay to be any, be a part of any other religion. There's a politician in Vancouver. Some controversy happened, and she said on public record, she said somebody had burnt, set a fire at a Catholic church, and she said we should burn them all down. A politician in Vancouver said this. Wow. We should burn them all down. All she had to do was apologize, and that was the end of the conversation. No blowback, no nothing. But if you were to say something about, we have a law in Canada called Islamophobia. Legally, you cannot say anything negative about Islam. But you can say, let's burn down a church.
As long as you apologize.
Apparently.
Yeah, wow.
So that's the environment that we live in here in Canada. You all will call it political correctness or leaning to the left or leaning to the right. Or here, it's just on a different level. In the States, when people are protesting in the public square, it might still mean something. Here, it's cute. Oh, few hundred people got together. That's so cute. Let me pinch your cheek. There isn't the power of the people here. We don't have the power of people. What we have is the power of political correctness. And you have to align with political correctness or you will be cut off. As you're probably aware, for example, if someone in your office demands that you use a certain pronoun and you don't, you could be fired from your job. That's our world. You can be fired from your job. That has nothing to do with the conversation about if it's right or wrong, certain lifestyles. That's not the point. The point is we are demanding and commanding legally that you must accept it, even if it cuts your own belief system. You must believe what they believe, even if it cuts your own belief system, because your belief system as a Christian doesn't matter. That's the environment that we live in. And that's a reality. But he's still on the throne and he's still doing good things and he's still loving his people. There's still opportunities on a daily basis to be able to celebrate the goodness of God in the land of the living and say, hey, he's on my side and he is for me. And as long as he's for me, it doesn't matter. But the days of persecution, they're already here. Last thing, Don, I know we've been chatting for a long time. Daniel was told, hey, for the next X period, nobody can worship their own God, but you have to bow at certain times to the statue and towards the king. You have to be quiet and silent about your religion. Those are the days that we're living in right now here in Canada. And in some ways, shapes, and forms in certain arenas, it's the exact same thing in the States, where you can't talk about Christianity, but you can talk about a whole lot of other things. Be quiet about your own faith. Don't push it on me anymore. Don't do it. But other agendas are being pushed and pushed and promoted. But you have to stay quiet.
Well, so I'm not going to end with that because I just feel like that I feel it coming. And really what's going to happen, I think, in the U.S. is our children will face it. You know, and so what are we doing? So we're in the family ministry. So, you know, I kind of end with telling parents, what are we doing to prepare our kids for the different world that, for us and maybe for, maybe the parents that we're serving today, technology may have been that change that we didn't know. You know, I always say that we are immigrants and our children are citizens of technology, and really, they are the parents today are immigrants of a world in which it's wrong to be a Christian. And our children will be immersed in that world. And so how are we going to train them to fight the battles? Because the battle is going to have to be fought at a different level than it is today. And I just want to wake up people to that. You know, Canada is part of Europe, in my opinion, in the way they've gone, politically, things in many ways. Is kind of a representation of where we will be in 20 years because we've tended to follow that mindset. And, it's just going to be a different world. And so I think, as parents, we need to be preparing our parents now as grandparents for us. We need to be preparing our kids. And you guys are an example of that, of where a different environment than, and not that it can't change. Revival could happen. You know, there's so many things that could happen. And God.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it might change, but it looks like that's where it's going right now.
The one thing that I will say on behalf of Canadians, thank you for the political theater, because y'all are entertaining, man, in the way that you deliver politics. I mean, the past few leaders that you've had, and the one who falls asleep all the time that you have right now, and even the leaders in Texas, it is just great entertainment for us here to watch it all.
My goodness, it's embarrassing theater in many ways, but it's interesting how polarized, in our country, it really has come to polarization. And so that's where, that's what we're dealing with today, and it's interesting how some Christians have decided, we're not going to be pushed into the shadows anymore. We're going to stand up and have a voice. And I think what we've learned from it, I hope, is it's not a voice of anger and you're wrong and all that, but it's a voice of this is what we believe. And I think if anything that's come out of it, and this is just me randomly talking right now, so, just don't put a lot of stock in it or whatever, but I mean, it's like, but it's not something I really thought through, but I think that what's happened is that people have said, hey, the angry rhetoric is wrong, but standing up for our beliefs are right. Just like we tell parents, you can be firm without being angry. And so we can stand up for what we believe and say, this is what we believe to be true. And this is what we're going to represent. This is how we're going to walk in our lives without being so condemning to others, And I think that new voice is coming out that is a voice of love and grace and hope and repentance. But yet still following a lifestyle that Jesus says, he said, hey, be perfect as I'm perfect, have a standard, have purity, all these things. And it all goes together in a great rhetoric, if you will, rather than the angry, Which really is what made, in so many ways, made people not like us anyway, because it was deserved in some way.
So many different places we can go with that.
Whole conversation.
That is a whole other conversation. I'm hoping we can do it offline because, Don, I really appreciate you taking the time and making the time to hang out and have this conversation. Bless you and bless everybody for tuning in today. At the end of the day, what matters is that you get what you're searching for. When we hear seeking, you will find, asking, you will receive, knock and the door shall be open. The question isn't, will that happen? The question is, what are you seeking? Because you will find what you're seeking. If you're finding a reason why you can't find your purpose, you'll find the reason why you can't. But if you start asking a different question, and if you change the equation, because the Bible says, seek and you'll find, but what are you seeking? If you're really seeking and you want to figure out a way to get it, you'll figure out a way to get it. And I bless you in that.
I agree. And that's why I wanted to have you on, is that I just love your, I love the book. I love your attitude towards helping the people in our audience find that purpose in life and not get run over by the world. So thank you for your time. And as always, parents, go be crazy, crazycoolfamily.com.